How long have you been the fire chief up here?
Almost a year. I retired after 33 years with Tucson Fire last June and started working up here the first week in July.
So, this year? First time working in this kind of environment as a firefighter?
It is. It's a whole lot different than a metropolitan fire department. The resources are different. The staffing is different. The challenges are much different. So it's been a real adventure, that's for sure.
In the year you've been here, have you seen anything that put the scare to you?
Right now. The conditions are so dry and the resources are so limited. If we have a fire up here, we don't have anybody to call to help us. All the engines and all the firefighters from this area are up either at the Horseshoe Fire, the Murphy Fire, or the Wallow Fire. So by the time we get back up, we're going to have our hands full.
Now, with the Big Old Fire that happened a few weeks ago, I think you had said on the phone that was an effort that included Mount Lemmon Fire, also Coronado National Forest, and even Saguaro National Park. Was that true that day?
It was the Park Service, or the U.S. Forest Service was here. They had two hotshot teams, and then we also had a team from Green Valley. So we were able to put a lot of people and a lot of resources on that fire quickly. And so we were able to hold it to right at 3 acres.
But of course that was before these two large fires.
But that was before now. And if we need air support, we're going to be battling other fires to get those, and they're limited in what our bench strength is right now.
So what do you have here on hand to fight a fire should one break out in the next few days?
I have a Type 2 engine, which is a structural engine. It carries 750 gallons of water. I have a brush truck, which is a Type 6, that carries 250. And then I have two water tenders, which each hold about 2,500 gallons. So I have a lot of water to throw at it really quick. We also have three helipads up here that we've got water stationed at, 5,000 gallons at each one of those. And then we've got close to 1 million gallons in tanks on the mountain that's dedicated to fire service. So I think water-wise we're okay. It's staffing and backup engines that we're going to be in trouble if we need them.
So what's the process? I know, being from Colorado, I've always seen forest fire lookout towers.
Yes.
There's not that many in the Coronado. Are there some on the mountain?
One.
Just one.
There's one at Lemon Rock. And Dave staffs it, and he's actually watching Reddington Pass as well as the Catalinas. It's a very good vantage point, but he's stretched. And with the smoke that we're getting from the other three fires, there's starting to drift into the valley. It makes visibility a little bit harder to see.
So what's the primary method of spotting a fire?
Well, we rely on Dave quite heavily to spot it from the lookout. And then we also rely on people calling 911 or from patrols, what we call severity patrols. And that's when we have the fire trucks out driving the areas and looking for hot fires, you know, for unattended campfires or barbecues that were left open. And that's one of the reasons for the closures right now is we want to eliminate all those sources of ignition.
Are you happy with the forest closure? You agree with it?
I am. And again, it's mostly because we have no bench strength. Right now, if we have a fire up here, we're just not going to have backup for a couple hours. So we're on our own. The Forest Service does have one engine that they're dedicated up here. So between their engine and mine, we really have a large area to patrol and to keep safe.
So the closure is not just an acknowledgement of the conditions up there, it's an acknowledgement that you're understaffed and under-mechanized.
Yes, we just don't have the resources to call in. We're competing for aircraft, we're competing for hotshot crews, we're competing for backup engines. I know we've got probably almost 3,000 firefighters working fires in Arizona right now. And they've got firefighters coming from all over the country and engines coming from all over the country. So there really aren't a lot of resources. the multi-agency type 1 and type 2 teams that coordinate these big events, they're starting to time out. They work for 2 weeks at a time, and then they have to take off. And so they're rotating through now, and I think we're going to be competing nationally for those management teams.
What happens tomorrow at noon for your department? Anything different at all once the forest officially closes, with the exception of the highway through to Summer Haven?
No, what we'll be doing is we'll be patrolling. We'll have the staff on duty. We'll also be checking the areas and make sure that some of the campgrounds are empty and that they're cordoned off. And then we'll be looking for hikers or anybody who's using the forest to let them know that it's closed. And then we'll also be checking our water sources and making sure that we've got access and working with the residents that are living up here and make sure that we can evacuate them in a timely manner should we need to pull the trigger on an evacuation. So we're kind of letting everybody know what conditions are and why we're doing what we're doing.
Now, in addition to fighting fires, do you do a lot with prevention, say, for example, working with the residents of Summer Haven to create defensible space around their homes?
We do, and we work with a group called Firewise, and we're doing defensible spaces and cleanup. And the problem right now is with the fire restrictions, we can't use chainsaws or grinders or chippers. So we're kind of limited to what we can do other than starting to create piles and bringing debris away from cabins and structures. But we are just trying to boost up awareness and work on our evacuation plan and make sure everything is in place.
I had read something a couple of days ago that, I forget what it was, I think it was on the U.S. Forest Service website, where the amount of dead fuels per acre in most western forests numbers in the tons per acre. Would you agree with that up here?
Yes. Conditions are just different than they've been in years and years. And from my discussion with Forest Service people and firefighters that are used to working in this environment, it's different than anything they've ever seen. The fire behavior at the big fires is different than anything we've been able to predict in the past. And with the winds the way they are up here, we've had 50-mile-an-hour gusts up here. And so that helps to dry out the vegetation that's here. And then the 3 days we had of frost and freezing really killed some of the other growth. So everything is just in the perfect storm right now. You know, and we're just trying to avoid playing catch-up.
And dry, cold winter and very little monsoon last year.
Yeah. Absolutely, and we had a good winter the year before, and so there was a lot of growth and a lot of young growth that was killed off during the freeze.
Jurisdictionally, where do you extend to?
We respond down to EMS and fire. We provide all emergency care and fire protection down to about milepost 10, and then Rural Metro picks up from there. Okay. We work... we have the first hour worth of fire attack in the forest land until the Forest Service gets here. So we're usually the first on the scene, and we'll set up a command structure and then initiate a fire attack until the Forest Service can get here and take over with their wildland crews.